The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We're going to try and hit on the Monopoly Madness, which we missed yesterday because I'm really good at stuff like that. Also, taking a peek at Jesus in the Old Testament. A Democratic candidate for presidency doesn't like evangelicals. I think I'm going to have to respond. And then we're going to ask this question. Can you be a Christian without Christ?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Aren't you getting tired? Just a little tired of getting poked in the eye? Don't you want to just prevail a little? Well, you can do that in the Lord. Politics, entertainment, and current events. We're going to cover all three of those. Personal revelation, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is, of course, open for conversation. And the reason for that is because it's really not professional radio. It's just radio. It's just radio, people. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right. So as you know, this is a ministry. That's my new word, ministry, which is a business ministry. And so anybody that's supporting us, we want to support. That's a big deal. I did get confirmation from Johnny Hill. He will be here on Monday to do an in-house interview. You haven't done one of those with me yet. Most people haven't heard that yet. There are lots of fun. And they're lots of fun to listen to, and they're lots of fun to be a part of, and you'll be able to call in and ask questions. Pretty interesting stuff. But I want to give a big shout-out to my two big blessings. They are both blessed. We'll start with the Big John as we get into him.
Big John. Big John.
That's John from the Blessed Roofing Company. Now, TheBlessedRoofingCompany.com is the website. Hey, in case you didn't catch that website, that's The Blessed Roofing Company. Hey, what? The Blessed Roofing Company. Is repetition good in radio? The Blessed Roofing Company. Yes. And the phone number, 469-BLESSED. 469-BLESSED. Just wait, Pam. What we do on your routine is going to be hilarious. 469-BLESSED. John was pointing out lots of hail been taking place, and you might not see a huge leak. You know, you might not walk into your house and have a river come flowing right down on your big screen TV. But that doesn't mean there's not damage. That's what the advantage of a free inspection is. And you would be able to get a replaced roof at no out-of-pocket costs. If everything lines up, you would be good to go. And John will make sure it gets done right, professionally, and ethically. I did not know in Texas how much scamming goes on. He started to explain to me how the roofing companies do scams. My brain checked out about 55 seconds in because it's like, what? So you want somebody who's got the same faith as you, working in the with the heart, trying to work as unto the Lord first. And you're not, it's roof repairs, it's roof replacements. It's also commercial roofs. You get a great chance to fellowship with a brother and find out somebody really on fire for the Lord. Great guy. 469-BLESSED, 469-BLESSED. Big shout out to our friend John. Now we get to really have fun. Because we're talking about Pamela Melchiano. Italian. It's Pamela Melchion. Which originally I thought was Hawaiian, which I think is hilarious. Anyway, she is in process getting a whole redo on her website, but there's a couple things I want to kind of lay in your direction. First, her website. Guess what her website is? TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com. Oh, yeah. You're thinking, well, wait, you just had TheBlessedRoofingCompany.com. Now you're telling me there's TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com? You catching that? You catching that wave? You catching that similarity? Uh-huh. Let's just say friends, very good friends. Right? Soon to be more than friends. I mean, that's the key. To reach Pamela, 817-505-5541, 817-505-5541. You want to call her first, as they're still working on the site and getting that together, TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com. So, you know, they'll keep adding stuff and adding stuff and adding stuff. But here's the key. You don't want to have a real estate agent that is like your third cousin down who does real estate maybe one transaction a year or two so that they can take that special trip. That is not who you want representing you.
Are you kidding me?
Not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. I'm telling you, you want somebody who is committed, who understands real estate, is involved. So you want Pamela Melchion. See, now, if I'd done that Hawaiian style, it went, Melchion, it'd be, like, different. But see, if it's Italian, kind of got to do it a little different because that's Italian. 817-505-5541. We're going to have both John and Pamela on the show to do an interview coming up pretty soon. That's our business part of it. We take care of that first. That's an important part for us to do. And now we move on. So I hope you guys respond to them, support them. At a minimum, I'd like you to support them in prayer since they're helping us and praying with us and trying to get things moving so we can do ministry. So in regards to ministry, let's get straight into the heart of the matter. And so some people think of ministry as these very deep and profound moments where great things happen. So I'm going to bring one of those out to you right now and ask you this really important question. What's the deal with Monopoly pieces? Oh, wait, is that not a huge ministry element? Oops. I knew I missed it. So you had, remember Monopoly? Remember we played Monopoly as a kid? Everybody played Monopoly back in the day. Right? And so I just decided to do a little check because I haven't played in a long time. And every time I see the game, I don't know about you, we played the short version. Do you ever play the short version where you pass out the properties? You fold them up and then you kind of shuffle them like cards and you pass out the properties and then you do your trading and so on and so forth. And whoever inevitably got the greens, the purples, and the blues won. So I don't care what it was. Oh, not the purples. The greens, the blues, and the yellows where Marvin Garden was. Remember that? But I did think it was always funny, and this is something that goes through my mind, and you'll have to forgive me. But remember some of the pieces in the Monopoly game? Remember they had the top hat. Remember the top hat? What was that for? Was that, you know, British aristocracy? Was that some kind of – I mean, what was the top hat for?
It was a banker's hat.
It was a banker's hat?
The banker on the Monopoly game.
Oh, so that's what the hat was for. I thought it was like some British thing. I couldn't figure that out. It was driving me crazy. Then they have the race car. That was cool. I'm cool on that. But then they had the dog, right? And don't tell me you didn't tilt the dog down where it sat on its nose. Don't lie to me. You did too. This is quality radio right here. You got to pay for stuff like this if you listen on Sirius XM and have a subscription. Otherwise, you can just hear it here on KAAM 770. So now they've had some replacements. Did you know they replaced some of the pieces? All right, well, let me ask you this. What did the boot stand for? Remember the boot? They had the boot. They had the wheelbarrow, and they had the thimble. They got rid of all three of those pieces. Would you like to know their replacements? Well, you're going to find out anyway. Here they are. They've replaced them with, follow this, a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Okay, just hold on. I'll just stop. I can go with the wheelbarrow because it's somebody, maybe it's a landscaper, maybe they're working for a living. Thimble could be sewing, you know, boot. I don't know if that's a shoemaker or somebody who's just walking. How do you pull a dinosaur into the game Monopoly?
Don't.
There is no way you can have a dinosaur. Also, akin to the dinosaur, because that was so popular, they put in a penguin. A penguin?
No penguin sound effects, sorry.
Are you kidding? And then, to close it off, for those that know this game and understand its importance on capitalism, yeah, the last thing they changed out once they got rid of the wheelbarrow, the thimble, and the boot, you know what they added, the last piece? A rubber ducky. Okay. Again. Okay, just so. I can get the wheelbarrow. I can get the thimble. You know, working people, so on and so forth. Rubber ducky is a bathtub. It's a song. Rubber ducky, you're the one. Tyrannosaurus Rex, nothing. There is no... absolutely no connection to Monopoly and Tyrannosaurus Rex. And then a penguin. The only thing I can do on that is think they made a lot of money on those penguin movies, and that's capitalism, and therefore it's connected to Monopoly. What do you think? That's all I got. You better enjoy that, because what's coming up after this is a lot more intense. I don't want to say it's harsher, but it is a lot harsher than what we just did, because one of the cool things we're going to look at in the next segment is Jesus in the Old Testament. One of the not cool things we're going to look at is a Democratic candidate for president who thinks you are terrible, doesn't like you if you're an evangelical. Now, we understand that this is posturing, but your words, they do matter, and we most likely will remember. Get it? All right, taking a short break. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll be right back.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy, too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, folks, let's just let you know if you want to reach the show, 972-445-0770. Any praise report or prayer requests, we're glad to help out. 972-445-0770. Facebook, David Spoon Media. Website, David Spoon. YouTube, David Spoon Media. Just put a new one up there today. About a subject we're going to talk about tomorrow, which is, can you be a Christian and not believe the Bible?
All right, all right, all right.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Watch, watch my handle. Okay, so we're, yep, that's what we do. We have a little fun. If you can't take a break 1 hour a day and just, like, smile a little bit, change your meds, okay? Try some Gospels. Get it? Gospels? Gospels? Okay. Get it? Okay. Couple things to run in your direction that is good. Merry Heart Doth Make Like Medicine, by the way. We have a bumper sticker that we have created, and we are going to give them away. So I know Leonard has been waiting for some better trivia. I don't blame him. I haven't given any on purpose because we have been putting our own money into creating a bumper sticker. And you may want it or you may not want it, or you might want to just put it on your car or on a cork board or whatever. But it's a bumper sticker, and it says this. It says, he created the universe. He can write a book. That's what it says. He created the universe. He can write a book. And then at the very bottom, it says David Spoon Media. He created the universe. He can write a book. Now, apparently, this is a challenge for some people, this thought. And I was talking to a wonderful pastor who's co-student with me, and he's going on and getting his PhD, which I don't know. He's a lot more committed to that process than I am. And we were talking, and he's like, well, he's trying to explain to this woman, you know, how important the Bible is. And she was complaining because the Bible was written by men. And see, this is part of the problem that prevails in our society, okay? First and foremost, for you to think that God is going to write a book and let somebody else mess it up tells me all I need to know about what you really think about God. Your God, who would write a book and let people mess it up, he's terrible. He's awful. He got to toss him. That's terrible. Because any God, quote unquote, who writes a book for humanity and then is not able to sustain that message, he failed. Failure. Ding, ding. If God wanted to write a book and imprint the entire book on your forehead, he would do it. If God wanted to write a book to communicate something and didn't want anybody to ruin it, he would do it. If you believe that God can actually create the universe, but you also believe he can't write a book, you are living in complete contradiction. In lieu of that, let us step into what I have hesitantly stepped into before, but we'll do so now with a little more oomph, I suppose. First and foremost, I want you to understand how God has communicated his word and the authority of his word to all of us in the scriptures by referring specifically to Jesus Christ, who came on the earth and 78 8 times. How many? 78. Was that a good year? Not in 70s. 78. 78 times quoted the Old Testament. 27 of the 39 books were quoted by Jesus. What? 78 times Jesus quoted. That's a minimum. I understand this. Some people say more. I'm giving you the conservative numbers so you can't get mad. 78 times quoted by Jesus, the Old Testament. 27 different books. For those that are really into this, the top four books in descending order, Exodus, Isaiah, Deuteronomy, and Psalms. Jesus quoted Psalms more than any other book, then Deuteronomy, then Isaiah, and then Exodus. Those were the top four. So before somebody says, well, it was just the Torah, wrong answer. Sit down. You fail. Because the number one book was Psalms. And it's important, I just say, oh, and by the way, just for another number for the fun of it, the apostles, as far as we can tell, at least 209 quotations in the Old Testament. That's a lot of Old Testament quoting. That's just about 300 times in the New Testament, quotes the Old Testament. Why is that important? There's two reasons why that's important. One, because it shows the continuity of God being able to write a book. Remember, 66 books, 27 in the Old, 39 in the U. Then 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. I got to slow down. And so why is that important? Because out of those 39 books, if they were wrong, Jesus would have went, well, that was written wrong. He fulfilled the law. He didn't rewrite what was written. He challenged man to go deeper, not said, hey, when they wrote that wrong. He never said that. So God didn't make a mistake writing the Old Testament, but he's going to make one writing the New because he got older with age. Oh, wait, he doesn't age. Whoops. I guess that really doesn't work then, does it? And so my point is this. Jesus quoting 78 times, the apostles 209 times, 27 different books quoted by Jesus. Watch this. Guess what version Jesus quoted? Oh, you're in trouble. Ouch. Stop pinching me. You're in trouble. There was the Hebrew scriptures, and then there was in the 400 years of silence, that's when they wrote the Septuagint. You know what the Septuagint is? That is the Greek translation of the Hebrew. They took the Hebrew, and they translated it, and in that translation, that became the Old Testament Bible. Jesus, over 80%, quoted the translation, not the original Hebrew scriptures.
Are you kidding me?
No. Think about that. In other words, Jesus didn't quote the original Hebrew. 8 out of 10 times he quoted the Greek translation. What does that mean? It means that when God wants to write a book, God can write a book. This is not complex. This is not difficult. We need to understand that God is very good at what he does, being God. And when he wants to communicate something, well, I don't know. They didn't have YouTube back then. They didn't have television and radio, but they had writing. You see? And see, right? And guess what? We still have writing. Even if it's digitalized, who cares? It's still writing. And all the way through all of humanity, God has had a message. Now, we're not even talking about those bizarre little facts like what? There's about how much time we got? We got about 3 minutes? 5 minutes. All right. There's about 7.4 billion Bibles on the planet in totality. There's about 7.4 billion people. Ooh, that's just a freaky thing. But here's something to really get into. The validity of Scripture established by Jesus Christ, carried on. All of a sudden, then what people say is, well, a man was involved. Okay, now watch. Man has been partnering with God, and that was the original intent, by the way, in the garden, is to have this partnership. But man has a problem. Man has sin, so it creates problem. But what does God do in lieu of sin? He provides Jesus Christ to get us through so that that sin doesn't fully separate us from God and that we can now have a relationship with God. Well, he did that based on his relationship and his love for us, and he does that in the framework of the scriptures. He's like, well, he used man. He sure did. And he shows you that he can do anything, even with us. The Gospels are not only the most historically documented writings ever by 200%. Not only is that the case, which is phenomenal by itself, but the four Gospels which give an account, the three of them are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called synoptic. And the reason they're called synoptic gospels is because they see the same. That's where you get synoptic from. And the most amazing thing is these are four people that wrote four encounters with Jesus, and yet the accuracy and consistency between them is utterly amazing. If I went and saw Star Wars 5 and you saw Star Wars 5 and somebody else saw Star Wars 5 and we all wrote our little review, they wouldn't look anything alike. But when these people encountered Jesus, when these people wrote about the encountering of Jesus Christ, it was a powerful unity of communication. In fact, scripture is so cool. Bibliology, not worship of the Bible, but the study of the Bible, is one of the most fascinating topics ever. And yet God, in his greatness, has used everything from the Bishop Bible, which, by the way, the King James was mostly based on. And for those that don't believe that, you should reread the introduction and reread the story and the history of the writers of the King James Bible. And all the way through to even nowadays, using even people being encountered using things like the Good News Bible. Oh, that's not the scripture. Hey, you know what? That's the scriptures that God used to save me. And anytime you want to have a sit down and have a discussion on whether I'm saved or not, I will pay for dinner. How about that? God uses all of it to communicate his message. How much does he use? Hilarious that in the Chinese language, somebody standing underneath a lamb, that's the symbol for righteousness. That's how smart God is. Whoa, what? That's right. That's right. But that's nothing, because when we come back, we have to take exception to a politician who thinks he knows God but won't use the Bible. Amazing. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Everything we find is the hungry
giant. The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2. On God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM. What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait. I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off that is spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You know, Wonder Julie, I have not messed that up one time. Isn't that amazing?
There's still time.
Thanks a lot. Hey, I didn't say K-Frog or something. That was good. All right. Let's see. What do we know about Texas and being in Texas? I'm still adapting and learning, so people can't get mad at me. Let's see. It's a little warmer than we're used to, just starting to get that warm thing. Oh, I'm really excited because when we first moved, we were able to have a service cut the yard, and I had to get a mower. I'm really excited to cut my own yard. If Aunt Deb is out there listening, yeah, I had to get a mower. Don't ask. That's going to be a lot of fun. Don't forget our bumper sticker. We're going to be giving our bumper stickers away in trivia questions. I'm just waiting for them to be finalized, and then we're going to start doing crazy, crazy, crazy giveaways. But the bumper sticker will be one of them, and it simply says, "He created the universe. He can write a book." All right? So it's a black bumper sticker with white writing. It's kind of cool. I think it looks pretty good. And we're going to kind of really stick with that because here's what's going to happen, and I'm just going to tell you ahead of time so you can be prepared. They're going to try and outlaw the Bible. If you did not know that, it's something we talked about. I talked about it 7 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and now right now. They are going to make the Bible hate speech, all of it, not some of it. Okay, they're going to do that because why? Because if they use the biblical standards on anything, it will destroy the secular progressive approach. All right, listen to this passage in Jude, verse 3. There's one chapter, so you don't have chapter 2. It's verse 3. "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints." By contending for the faith, Jude is not saying that we do physical damage to anybody anywhere, and anybody who thinks that is accurate just needs to be shipped off to an island. Bye. We don't have time for that. We use the arguments, the truth, the discussion, the participation of Scripture. And before you say, well, you know, you don't want to be, so, you know, somebody gets into an argument. All of Acts is filled with arguments. There's a difference between having an argument and being argumentative. Okay? There's a big difference between those two phrases. So in lieu of needing to contend for the faith and understanding that we have to use reasonings and truth in arguments, persuasions, and discussions, We need to be aware of what Scripture says and what's going on. Now, why is that important, and why are they going to try and eliminate the Bible and make it hate speech? What's the deal there? Well, the deal is that if you teach against homosexuality, you are, in fact, a bigot, a racist, a homophobe, Zionist, evil, cantankerous, terrible, flat earther, ignoramus. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Forget the fact that the majority of scientists in the very beginning of all of our quote unquote enlightened societies were all Bible believing Christians. Bible believing Christians. And that our great leaders, like Abraham Lincoln, think he was a good leader? You know what he said? He goes, I can understand how people can look from heaven down to earth and not catch men, but I don't understand how anybody can look from earth to heaven and not understand there's a God. You don't hear that quote. Why? Doesn't fit the narrative, does it? So we have a politician that's recently popped out, and his name is Peter Buttigieg. I don't know. Something. He's Peter something. Peter, it's boot. It's either boot or butt, and it's either geeg or geez. I think I could just say boot G. I don't know. Butt G. How about butt geez? Or something. I don't know. Anyway, he hates evangelicals. You think, no, he didn't say he hates evangelicals. Let me explain something to you. When they say to you, well, they talk a lot of – evangelicals talk a lot about things in Scripture, and those things in Scripture, well, they're not really there. Okay, so the first two components he's talking about is God creating man and woman. Okay, apparently Matthew 19's not in his Bible, which that's exactly the case. What they've done is they've taken the Bible and taken out everything that makes them look bad.
Oh, that's silly.
So silly. So ridiculous. And so they've removed everything. And then he's pro-abortion, even up to the ninth month. Watch this. It doesn't matter that there's two passages in Jeremiah, two passages in Isaiah, one in Ecclesiastes, and two in Psalms. There's seven passages that talk about the formation of the child in the womb. And their argument is this, that it's a woman's right to choose. But here's the argument from Scripture. A person is God's property, and by saying the woman has the right to choose, she becomes the slave master of that child. It's okay to say that God is the master since he's the creator of the universe, but this makes all the women who get abortion based on convenience slave masters. I'd like to see somebody do some comparisons. And let me tell you something else that you're absolutely going to hate if you're a liberal, and that is the simplicity that, you know, the idea of humanism and Darwinism has directly led to Hitler trying to expunge the Jews off the planet because he thought they were an inferior race and what we needed was a superior race. That was his whole premise. He wasn't religious. He wasn't a Christian. He was completely committed to creating the superior human race by eliminating the lesser races. That's evolution. Killing out the ones that are weaker. Oh, and you're thinking, but what this guy, he's not saying is bad. What he's saying is horrible. First of all, when he uses the word creator, he doesn't use a capital C. What? Do you need to understand that in the Constitution, when it was written, it's a capital C? That's number one. Number two, he doesn't care what Scripture says. He doesn't care about Romans 1. He doesn't care about Jude. He doesn't care about 1 Corinthians 7, where it says that some were homosexuals. That's what they were. But then when they became Christians, they were no longer homosexuals. He doesn't care about that. Just toss it. It doesn't fit. He doesn't care about life in the womb. He thinks it's not even life. It's not real life. Only all other species on the planet are real life at conception, except for human beings. Even plants at conception are considered alive, but not a person. Want to know why? Not enough money in it. That's why. You think, oh, it's not all about money. It's all about money. It's all about power. It's all about Satan killing and murdering babies, period. They were sacrificing babies in the womb in the Old Testament. Now we're just doing it in the New Testament. You think, but America is a Christian nation. I think there's great argument that America was a Christian nation. The question is America still a Christian nation? I don't know if you can say that 20 million murders a year sacrificed on the altar of superior race and on the altar of money puts us in a good position as a country. Remember, whether America's a chosen group, a chosen nation, or not, judgment for sin is for everybody. And that includes Israel, and that includes America. And so this politician who is trying to gain the nomination, this guy wants to be your president, the commander-in-chief, and what he wants to do is eliminate scriptural truth by beating down evangelicals and removing them. He doesn't want to consider Romans 1. He doesn't want to consider Matthew 19. He doesn't want to consider 1 Corinthians 7. He doesn't want to consider Jude. He doesn't want to consider any scripture that puts him at a disadvantage and that can infringe on how he feels. Guess what? That's sin. And while all these guys gather and they're all doing this thing, oh, and by the way, here's a classic. You heard the big discussion about reparations that just came up. Reparations, reparations. You know, if somebody read Ezekiel 18:4, you'd find out you're not allowed to penalize the child for the father's sin. Oops. Oh, well, biblically you can't do it. Oops. Otherwise, I'd be suing people in Egypt for a long time. 400 years we were there. 430. It's just this kind of stuff. And what they're going to do is they're going to make you – they're not just going to marginalize you. They're going to make you illegal. You know that, right? If you think this is about, oh, well, they're just trying to, you know, pool the resources and do – no, they're not. They're trying to eliminate any sense of right and wrong that is a standard beyond what they established themselves. That's what political correctness is, the establishment of man's own self-righteousness. That's why it's so confusing, because Satan is in the middle of it. And you think these people are like, do you think these people care? Or we really care about this, and we care about – remember in the scripture how Judas kept the money, but he was mad about the perfume, not because he cared about the poor, but that's what he said. This money could have been given to the poor. This could have been helping the poor people. But the scripture says he lied. He was actually wanting to keep more money for himself because he was the holder of the money. That sounds a lot like the politicians. It sounds exactly like the people who are saying – well, we should – let's get more money from this person. Let's get more money from this person. That way we can give it to the poor. But they just line their own pockets with it. That's exactly what Judas did. I'm starting to have a harder and harder time being quiet. I don't think Christians should be vengeful, but I think they should stand for the truth. And Jesus said, sanctify, John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. And for those who are thinking, well, he had this whole thing planned out. This was all off the cuff. Because it's frustrating to watch people just beat down the faith. But it was prophesied. Interesting. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
There's no need to fear.
Order Bear
is here.
When Josh Josh and Ash are feeling bummed, plus all their friends are being dumb. That's when they need some joy and fun, which they can get from their amazing son, Carter Bear. Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear. When things seem to be going wacky, he's the spoon that makes them happy. Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear.
The David Spoon Experience.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored, impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. Go to YouTube, David Spoon Media. You can send me an email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. I wonder, Julie, that was kind of intense, huh? That was kind of like a, was that kind of a good rant there for a little while?
Absolutely.
All right. I don't think that was soft. I don't, you know, not now. That's not firm for me. That's stern. Firm, you'll hear that tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about whether or not you can be a Christian without the Bible.
Don't.
I don't think that many people are going to like everything they hear. So I want to finish up on this guy and then go into the next big thing. I do want to make a point because it is worthwhile. So this, what was his name? Bootgeegee? Bootergeegee, something like that. I don't know.
Bootergeegee.
Yeah. Okay. That guy. Anyway, he said something to Mike Pence. You know, Mike Pence is a born again Christian. He's done nothing wrong. In fact, he'll never be accused of the Me Too movement because he's smarter than that. Oh, thank you. Right. Great thinking. And so his argument for Mike Pence, this guy's argument is, you know, your quarrel, sir, is not with me. It's with my creator. That's what he said to Mike Pence. Well, first of all, he is right on one thing. Our quarrel is with his creator, but his creator's more like satanic versus God. So that would be why we would have a quarrel with that. But the big thing is to understand that they just don't understand God in any kind of parameters that they are unable to control. And I think that's a really important element for liberals, secular progressives, people that are, nature is more important than man, which of course is the ultimate irony for evolutionists. It's the exact opposite of evolution. Nature is more important than man. Darwin would have said, well, if nature can't handle it, out you go. What do we do? There's the left-footed, spotted, broken-nosed owl. Let's make sure to protect him. You know what Darwin said? Shoot him. get rid of him. Dump him. If he can't handle it, he's out. He doesn't fit the order of species. Get him out. And then their new argument is, well, we've evolved. Well, we've evolved. The evolving part is that we're supposed to be conquering. Whoops. That doesn't even make sense. Some of their arguments are so weird and bizarre. So I think it's really important to understand I sent a text off, so I'm going to get some not probably positive response out of this, to the CNN guy who wrote the article. CNN, Christians not necessary. And I said, you know, the reason that you can't understand things is because you use a small c for creator when the actual Constitution and the actual statements say we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their creator, capital C. And it's like, you know, people don't like that. Okay, too bad. You know, not the least of which is these people are all pro-murder. And it's like, this is not pro-choice. It's not pro-life. It's pro-murder. Well, what about rape and incest? Okay, that accounts for 2.8%. That means that 97 out of every 100 abortions are because people are selfish pigs. How about that? That you can't change that fact. Oh, it's going to be a real inconvenience. Did you see the latest commercial? I can barely take care of this plant. How am I going to take care of a kid? That's the news. Oh. Here's an idea. Don't be so free giving. How about that? I know, it's crazy, right? That's not what I was going to say, but I changed it at the last minute to be a nice guy. All right. So this leads me to my last – oh, I'm going to get it when I get home. This leads me to my last point, and that is what's happening is they're trying to redefine the term Christian. And this is why I had a problem with when they were using the word religion in the latest – poll that they did. Here's the thing. What they're trying to say is that a Christian is anybody who emulates Christ based on whatever they think Christ is. Which is like, what? All right, let's be real honest. Can you have Christmas without the word Christ in it? No. Can you celebrate Christmas apart from Christ? Yes, but it's not truly celebrating, right? It's fake. Well, there are people that have fake faith. You know, we've been talking about fake news, right? Fake news, CNN's fake news. I don't even think they're fake news. I just think they're propagandists. MSNBC, I got no comments. Come on. If you watch that and you think that's good, turn me off. Do me a favor. I don't even want to talk to you. I'll talk to you. But the idea is it's all ridiculous, right? Well, there are fake faith people. Oh, I'm a Christian. Well, how are you defining a Christian? I think that what Jesus represented was you just love and acceptance. Well, Jesus' first message was repent of your sins. Oh, but that's in the Bible. Well, then where are you getting your information about Jesus? I make it up in my head right after I suck on a lollipop. It's like that's the problem. Is people are making up what their Christianity is based on whatever they want. You can't be a Christian without Christ. You can't be a follower of Jesus without following Jesus.
Well, that's your definition.
That's the line that gets used. I'm sorry, where do you get your information about Jesus? I've watched cartoons. Come on. I don't think that Christians should be so quiet that they don't say, hey, that's not what Jesus said. That's not what he taught. That's not what's written. I think a bigger problem is a lot of Christians don't know what's written. That's a bigger problem. You know, you come across a new ministry. You want to know if it's good or not. I got a message for you. You're supposed to test all things, prove all things. Yeah, that's what the scripture's for. And that's what discerning of spirits is for. That's what the gift of discernment is for. So you can discern what's the spirit, what's going on, where's it coming from. And I know I'm kind of unleashing today, but it's been building up for a little while. So forgive me if I've offended you if you are a Christian. If you are a non-Christian, you're offended, I could care less. Because the people that are in that realm, they reject. You know, the Bible says, cast not your pearls before swine. I didn't write it. Jesus said it. You can't take that away. And what I'm trying to communicate is the truth needs to be – we need to take a stand in the truth. We need to contend for the faith. He can create the universe. He wrote a book. He created it. He wrote a book. That's it. I don't care if people come to different conclusions, but to throw the book out altogether, that's not okay. That is not acceptable. And as Christians, we ought to know what that word says. That's part of our armor. That's part of how we're supposed to walk. That's part of how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to engage with that. And that word leads us to an intimate relationship. You know, Jesus said, these scriptures speak of me. The scriptures lead us into a closer walk towards Jesus so that we can spend quality time with Jesus. That's part of the process. But you need to know the truth in order to distinguish from the lie. And keep one thing in mind. Satan is the father of lies. And he's not just a liar. He's the father of every lie. In order to know that difference, you got to know the truth. It's just that simple. Again, we'll go back to the most simplistic discussion of all. If God creates the universe, he can write a book. And you got to think, man, I got to get in there. Yeah. Watch how Satan distracts you. That's his job, to keep you away. You need to push past, just like I do. Spend time in the Word, just like I need to do. I'm encouraging you because they're going to make this assault against Christians worse. If you're lucky enough from the worldly point of view not to be charged for being a Christian, you might have a nicer 2 or 3 years here. But that doesn't speak well for eternity. If they're throwing people in jail for being Christians, you better be one of them. That's a really important point. And you have to know what it is that Jesus had to say. I know, a little bit of a high horse. I understand. But it doesn't take away from the truth. Sanctify them in thy truth, Jesus said. Thy word is truth. That's what we need. We need a good diet. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word of God is alive, living, sharper than any two-edged sword. That word is alive. Let it minister to you, guide you, give you some direction. But you need to be in it to know how to stand in it, especially when people are going to come against it as much as they're going to. And they're going to. Okay? I'm just telling you. They're gonna. All right? Okie dokie. I'll give you a break. I'll try to be nicer tomorrow. I wouldn't count on it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Gonna take a 23-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
It may be false, but it feels the same. So I punish myself. I go down to the jail.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.